He scattered a few across the mouth of the passage and ran back to the rope, hauling himself up in a few quick swings. He reached the roof just as the leading guards ran under the lintel. He waited until he heard the first curse, and then coiled up the rope and hurried up after the girl.
"They'll catch us," she said.
"I don't think so."
"And then the king will have us thrown to the crocodiles."
"Oh, no, I don't think..."
Tepic paused. It was an intriguing idea.
"He might," he ventured. "It's very hard to be sure about anything."
"So what shall we do now?"
Tepic stared across the river where the pyramids were ablaze. The Great Pyramid was still under construction by flare light. A swarm of blocks, dwarfed by distance, hovered near its tip. The amount of labour Pataclus was putting on the job was amazing. What a flare that will give, he thought. It'll be seen all the way to Ankh.
"Horrible things, aren't they?"
said Petrachi behind him.
"Do you think so?"
"They're creepy. The old king hated them, you know. He said they nailed the kingdom to the past."
"Did he say why?"
"No, he just hated them. He was a nice old boy, very kind. Not like this new one."
She blew her nose and replaced her handkerchief in its scarcely adequate space in her sequined bra.
What exactly did you have to do?
As a handmaiden, I mean," said Tepic, scanning the rooftop panorama to hide his embarrassment. She giggled.
"You're not from round here, are you?"
No, not really."
"Talk to him, mainly, or just listen?"
"He could really talk, but he always said no one ever really listened to what he said." "Yes," said Tepic, with feeling.
"And that was all, was it?"
She stared at him and then giggled again.
"Oh, that, no. He was very kind. I wouldn't have minded, you understand. I had all the proper training. Bit of a disappointment, really. Women of my family have served under the kings for centuries, you know."
"Oh, yes," he managed.
"I don't know whether you've seen a book. It's called The Shattered Palace,
said Tepic, automatically.
"I thought a gentleman like you'd know about it," said Petrachi, nudging him. "It's a sort of textbook. Well, my great-great-grandmother posed for a lot of the pictures."
"Not recently," she added, in case he hadn't fully understood.
"I mean, that would be a bit off-putting. She's been dead for 25 years. When she was younger."
"I look a lot like her, everyone says."
"Oh," agreed Tepic.
"She was famous. She could put her feet behind her head, you know.
So can I. I've got my grade 3.
The king told me once that the gods gave people a sense of humour to make up for giving them sex. I think he was a bit upset at the time."
"Oh." Only the whites of Tepic's eyes were showing.
"You don't say much, do you?"
The breeze of the night was blowing her perfume towards him. Petrachi used scent like a battering ram.
"We've got to find somewhere to hide you," he said, concentrating on each word. "Haven't you got any parents or anything?"
He tried to ignore the fact that in the shadowless flare light she appeared to glow and didn't have much success.
"Well, my mother still works in the palace somewhere," said Petrachi, "but I don't think she'd be very sympathetic."
"We've got to get you away from here," said Tepic fervently. "If you can hide somewhere today, I can steal some horses or a boat or something. Then you could go to Tassort or Ifib or somewhere."
"Foreign, you mean? I don't think I'd like that," said Petrachi.
"Compared to the netherworld?"
"Well, put like that, of course."
She took his arm.
"Why did you rescue me?"
Because being alive is better than being dead, I think.
"I've read up to number 46, Congress of the 5 Auspicious Ants," said Petrachi. "If you've got some yogurt, we could..."
"No, I mean, no, not here, not now. There must be people looking for us. It's nearly dawn."
"There's no need to yelp like that. I was just trying to be kind."
Yes, good. Thank you."
Tepic broke away and peered desperately over a parapet into one of the palace's numerous light wells.
"This leads to the embalmer's workshops," he said. "There must be plenty of places to hide down here."
He unwound the cord again. Various rooms led off the well. Tepic found one lined with benches and floored with wood shavings. A doorway led through to another room stacked with mummy cases, each one surmounted by the same golden dolly face he'd come to know and loathe. He tapped on a few and raised the lid of the nearest.
"No one at home," he said. "You can have a nice rest in here.